during my time as Poet Laureate, I was traveling and really just trying to have conversations with readers or listeners or people who didn't even imagine themselves to be poetry lovers. And what was really beautiful to me was that even in a large auditorium, those conversations felt intimate and vulnerable, private, and kind of like irreproducible in a really wonderful way.
Good morning and welcome to Jonesy, the show that brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, food, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones. No relation, by the way. As the temperatures drop here in Portland, the leaves turn color and the rain starts falling, it's a sure sign autumn has arrived. A good time to pause the social media doom scrolling and sit down with a few books you've been wanting to read. It's also a sure sign the Portland Book Festival is right around the corner. Starting back in 2005, the festival, formerly known as Wordstock, has grown into the biggest literary event in the Northwest and one of the largest in the country. It takes place this year on Saturday, November 4th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., centered, as usual, in and around the Portland Art Museum. The festival features a wide range of events for all age groups, including discussions and pop-up readings with over 100 local and national authors, a kids' story time, writing workshops, an exhibitor fair, food trucks, and cover-to-cover events at Portland venues spanning the entire week. So much going on at the Portland Book Festival, and there's no one better to preview it all with us than Festival Director Amanda Bullock, who also serves as Senior Artistic Director at Literary Arts in Portland. Amanda's been our guest going back to the BC, or before COVID days, and I look forward every year to spending this time with her. Please join us for a conversation with Amanda Bullock, which is already in progress. Well, Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today. Like the Portland Book Festival itself, your visit has become a fall tradition for me, and I look forward to it every year.
Ken, I look forward to it, too. This is great. Well, I'm happy to be back.
Well, then let me start off by embarrassing you.
Oh, good.
This is a story from last year's festival. There was a video crew filming in the exhibit hall, and I was recruited along with other people there. Heather was there kind of grabbing people to answer a few questions before the camera. One of the questions was, how would you describe the Portland Book Festival in one word? And the first word that came to me was Amanda. Maybe it's a proper noun, but that's the first thing. To me, you're the face of the festival.
Well, thank you. I mean, this is number 9, so we've been doing it for a while now, but it's different every year. So
and you keep adding to it. We'll get into some of that. Of course, there are other people involved besides
yes, it takes
besides you.
A village, for sure.
It's the biggest literary event in the Pacific Northwest. When the lineup was announced in September, you weren't feeling well, so you weren't there. But a number of folks from Literary Arts filled in, which gave us a chance to meet them, you know, to pull back the curtain. And so there's a great team you work with to get all this done every year.
Yes, it's a huge team. And I'm going to feel like I'm like accepting an Oscar and I'm going to forget like my mom or something. But we have, you know, right on our festival team, there's Liz Olofsson, who does all the production and also programs the pop-up events, which are a really great part of the festival.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And complicated, too, with pairing a writer with a work of art in the Portland Art Museum.
Yes. And we're all of the pop-ups are in the Black Artist of Oregon exhibit this year. So it should be really interesting and really cool. And we actually have some writing workshop pop-ups too with Right Around Portland. And so there's a lot. That's just, I've only named one person and I've already talked about like 3 different things.
Right.
Yeah. And then we have a volunteer specialist, Denver, who's been with us for a while. There's Alberto. And then there's all the other literary arts, marketing, development, you know, the other programs like Susan with the classes and Olivia with youth programs. Plus we have Heather from publicity. Plus we work with a bunch of partners at our venues. We work with the publicity partners on the publicist side. There's so many people that it takes to make an event like this.
And it
possible.
Shows. But you're the point person. Now you're kind of.
Yeah. If anything goes
shoulders,
wrong, it's
right?
my fault. All right. The good stuff, those other people did.
They get the praise.
So, yeah. You know,
I mentioned I was there for the lineup announcement and there was applause and cheering after every author name. One woman was especially excited. I think I told you when.
Yes, I believe she's a high school librarian.
Yeah, she was letting out these cries of delight. And I had to hold back from saying, I'll have what she's having.
famous, it's books. The answer right, is books.
The famous yeah. line from When Harry Met yeah. Sally. But it shows the passion for books and writers in Portland and the amazing group of authors that you have each year at the festival. I guess next year I'm going to cry along with her in delight.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the bar now, right?
Right. So. And you mentioned that's a group of librarians that usually come in.
Are
they consulted at all on the lineup?
Not officially, but they definitely let us know like what they'd like to see. And we love working with them. You know, our Writers in the Schools program is in even beyond Portland Public Schools, but in a lot of the public schools. And so we work closely throughout the year with high school librarians, and they're great partners for a lot of the other work that we do. So it's been really nice to include them in some of those behind the scenes and insider moments like that. Partly because, yeah, they get hype, like they're really excited. So.
Now, in that video that they were making at the 2022 festival, I saw kind of the 2-minute version that was released on the website. And you mentioned it's the only book festival, as far as you know, that's based in an art museum. And you point out the significance, the intersection of the literary and visual arts, and making sure that downtown Portland is known and recognized for arts and culture and that whole area with the Schnitzer, the Portland 5 Center for the Arts, the Art Museum, the Oregon Historical Society, this new Judy
yes,
Center.
Yes, the Judy. Children's We're really Museum. Excited about the Judy. It's the new home of the Northwest Children's Theater. It's right across the street from the Schnitzer in what was a decades-long abandoned old movie theater. And so that's going to really allow us to expand our kids' programming. We're going from one stage for picture book in middle grade to 3 stages for picture book in middle grade. And it's just a really fun space. And they've been really great, too. So we've got some really, really great kids' programming this year. But yeah, I feel really strongly, and I feel safe saying literary arts feel strongly too, that arts and culture are a really important part of a vibrant downtown and a vibrant city and a vibrant civic life. And that all sounds very eat your spinach, but like the festival is also ice cream, you know, like it's, we haven't been about pies. So I guess I should say it's also pie. But yes,
I know there's a session on pies, and I think there's a cover to cover. We'll get into the cover to cover events.
Yeah.
That's all about pie, not the mathematical symbol, but the thing that
yes,
you actually
the one you
enjoy.
Eat, yes. The one in a dish. So yeah, I think it's a great moment to come downtown and see what's going on. And there's all the book events. There's also the art museum. The festival pass gets you full access to the art museum so you can see what they've got going on. And it's just a really nice time. We had people who came last year to the 2022 festival who literally told us the book festival, quote, made them love Portland again.
Yes, that quote was in the short video.
Yeah.
And not only this festival, but I talked with Peter Damon, who's artistic director of the Waterfront Blues Festival. That was this summer. And he said the same thing. He said the festival, the Blues Fest and the Portland Book Festival play a large part in kind of bringing Portland back, the downtown, from kind of a lot of mess that happened during the pandemic.
Well, I think it's important. It's really important to come together and to be in community in person. And like you do have to show up for that to get that.
It's not the same as zooming in.
It's really not. It's not. I'm glad that was there when we needed it. But being able to meet your favorite authors, get them to sign your book, being able to, you know, hear from an author that is new to you, being able to see your friends, like running into folks that you know, making new friends, like it's just that can really only happen when we're all together. And it was amazing to be back to our full footprint last year. So I'm really, really excited about this year.
Is attendance limited this year? I think it was last year.
Yeah, we've always been capped. We're really... Since we're all in, a lot of book festivals are outdoors, and that gives you a bit more capacity. But because all of our venues are indoors, it is November in Portland. So we do have one tent outdoors, but it's a really, really nice tent. We do make sure we cap attendance. So we are capped at 8,000 this year.
And pre-COVID, you were getting like over 10,000, weren't you?
We were never over 10,000. That was the cap.
Pre-COVID. Oh, that was the cap at the time. Okay.
So, and we're just... We feel a little better keeping it a little lower right now so that people know that it's not going to be super packed. And there's some construction and some changes in the footprint. So we're just being a little conservative with it to make sure that people kind of know what they're getting into. So.
Now, another benefit of the festival, and this is again from the video of that 2022 event, John Raymond, who's a Portland-based author and screenwriter, he co-writes a lot of the Kelly Reichardt movies, talks about the importance of the festival in making writers feel welcome and part of what you were talking about, a community, and this is the literary community, of creating the next generation of writers and readers too. So the festival not only celebrates books, but is instrumental in kind of passing the torch to the next generation.
I hope so. And we really, you know, kids get in free, 17 and under, and anybody with a high school ID gets in free. And we have an event where we actually have a launch event for the writers in the schools, that program I was talking about, Anthology, where we feature the teen readers whose book has been published in that Writers in the Schools book. They are festival authors. They're treated exactly like festival authors, and we get to celebrate them at the festival too. So being able to give a platform to young voices, both for their own work and, again, a chance for those kids to, and kids at heart, to be able to meet some of their favorite authors and find work that's new to them is definitely a hugely important part of the festival. And I think we have a higher than average youth attendance due to a lot of that work.
Yeah, so. And you must, because there's more activities for kids and teens every year, it seems, when I look at the schedule.
Yeah, we have a whole young adult stage. And then, you know, of course, a lot of the, like, quote unquote adult, not necessarily YA stuff, appeals to teen readers as well. And so we hope that they're all over the festival. And then, yes, we have the Judy has three stages for picture book and middle grade programs, which should be really fun. We did our first illustrator draw off last year, and it was really, really great. So we're doing two this year. So if you want a little bit of friendly competition in your festival day, you can check that out.
Is that led by a cartoonist?
One of them is being led by Jonathan Hill, and one of them is being led by Aaron Nolsteinke. Yeah. And we have, I think one has five and one has six illustrators, and they just each are on an easel, and they'll get different prompts, and some are audience prompts, and it's really fun. It's like a nice interactive event. So,
and I was going to get to the current generation of writers appearing at this year's festival. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should start off with Roz Chast, who's also a cartoonist, and she has a new graphic memoir out.
She does. It's called I Must Be Dreaming. Right? Yes, I Must Be Dreaming. And she, of course, is a New Yorker cartoonist, and I've never had the chance to meet her, so I'm really excited to be able to meet her. And she'll be interviewed by Dave Miller, another radio personality.
Yes, OPB. Yeah. No, he's very good. They do a great job every year.
So that'll kick off the day at 10 a.m. And she, you know, she's very funny. And I think that that'll be a really great. It's, you know, I feel like Portland's big for so many things, but it's definitely still has a really strong comics scene. So
yes, definitely. A lot of the DC, the Marvel writers and cartoonists or illustrators are based here. And also we have Dark Horse and Image Comics.
Yeah.
And I think a few more that are escaping me at the time. But yeah, it's a big center for comics and graphic novels.
Yeah, and a bunch of indie artists, you know. So yeah, I think that'll be a really... I mean, almost everyone would like that event, I feel like.
So a few more headliners. Michael Lewis and Viet Thanh Nguyen.
Yes.
There'll be at two separate events in the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. Two of the finalists for the 2023 National Book Award for Fiction, Paul Harding and Justin Torres.
Yes.
That's quite a score. A former Poet Laureate of the U.S. and Pulitzer Prize winner. I think she was just announced within the last day or so, Tracy K. Smith.
Yes. Yeah. And her book's actually, the festival's November 4th. We will have the book available, but it's not even out till November 7th. So it's
So people will be able to buy that there and
Definitely.
Get it signed? If,
yeah.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Before anybody else in the country.
Yes. We're first. Portland's the cutting edge. So.
And then some more familiar names, familiar to me, Curtis Sidenfeld, Tim O'Brien, of The Things We Carried, Luis Alberto Urrea. Mitchell S. Jackson, who has roots in Portland. I think he has a new book on fashion in NBA, NBA fashion.
Fly, yeah.
Oh, Fly.
Yeah. Yeah, the big book of basketball fashion.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah. It's a cool book. Yeah, he's doing an event that's half his book and then half this book by, he's down in LA now, but a former Portlander, Santi Elijah Holly, about the Shakur family. So that should be a really great event about politics and culture and, yeah, and, you know, Tupac's in the news again, so.
Yes. And, I should mention the familiar names, and he was at a previous one, at least one other book festival, Jonathan Lethem.
Yes, he's
Jewel Parker favorite. Rhodes, who does
middle grade
books, and that's just to name a few. I was always wondering how you select the authors. Are there submissions? There must be a lot of people say, oh, please let me appear. Or do you make direct requests to certain people, like maybe the Jonathan Lethems, the Tracy Smiths?
It's a combination. And we had a huge surge in submissions this year. We had, I think it was 40% increase in submissions. So we had some really hard decisions to make. And we get great folks in through that because we just, there's so many, especially like small press and local authors that come in that way that we're thrilled to learn about and be able to include. So yeah, if there are local authors listening, we just can't know. We can't know everything that's coming. So please do submit your books. They always open in January. And then we also, you know, I meet with publishers and talk to people directly about who they think would be a good fit and send out invites that way. So it's a combination of yes, of please come, like we'd love for you to come, and a combination of thanks for sending us your book, like here you go. So.
And there's a diversity there in terms of the publishers too. There's some of the big commercial houses, mm-hmm. but there's also some of the indie presses.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we have a really strong, I think, independent press showing at the festival. So, and some of them you'll find at the festival too, at the book fair, which is fun. You get to go straight to the source.
Oh, so. Yeah. They'll be hawking their books mm-hmm. and you could talk to the publishers and maybe some of the authors.
Yeah, it's fun. So
now you talked about authors in the news and the two Schnitzer authors, Michael Lewis, his new book is Going Infinite, The Rise and Fall of a New Tycoon. Mm-hmm. That tycoon happens to be in the news because he's currently on trial for criminal fraud in New York, facing life in prison. That's Sam Bankman-Fried. And then Viet Thanh Nguyen, he has the memoir, Man of Two Faces. He's not in the news for that, but he was recently, he had a reading canceled at the 92nd Street Y in New York because he signed an open letter condemning the Israeli offensive in Gaza. So it's really very timely mm-hmm. and quite a coup to have them both here in Portland.
Yeah, we're very excited. We've hosted both of them before and they're really great. Like they're great speakers. And Michael Lewis will be interviewed by Andrew Proctor from Literary Arts, who's a great interviewer, and told me this morning he's laughed out loud twice at the book about the cryptocurrency book.
Oh, I haven't read it yet, but yeah, I've got it on reserve at the library.
A good time also. And Viet is just a wonderful writer. And this is, you know, it's a memoir, so it's a new kind of story for him to tell. And he's being interviewed by Tommy Orange, who's the author of There, There. And I'm really excited to hear their conversation. I'll hear it afterward because I have to work all day. So I'll have to wait till for the recording. But
well, I hope
I'm
Tommy
especially
asked
excited
him,
about that pairing.
I hope Tommy asked him about the incident in New York.
Yeah, you know, and they were able to reschedule that event.
Wasn't because
Bernard
of his
Schwartz, who runs the Poetry Center, still introduced it, and they moved it to McNally Jackson downtown, and it was a much smaller audience, but Viet was in conversation with Minjin Lee, and they were still able to hold it, but I only know what I've read in the news about that, but I'm very glad Viet's coming to the festival.
And the other authors are included in a general admission festival pass. These two events with Viet and Michael Lewis are add-on.
It's an add-on. You can get a kind of front of house seat for the price of the book, and you can add on a guaranteed seat for just $5. So that means you don't have to wait online, be uncertain if you're going to get into the Schnitzer. You can add just for $5 for each of them, which I think is a pretty good deal.
I think it's a bargain to get a good seat.
You know, you got a seat. Yeah, it's great.
Because those will be very popular sessions. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to mention at least one event I'm especially looking forward to, the Eat Your Vegetables panel. So that takes place at 10 o'clock on the 4th mm-hmm. With Aaron Adams and Liz Crane, authors of the new cookbook, Fermenter, DIY Fermentation for Vegan Fare. I actually did an interview with them.
And that's a restaurant in town.
Yeah,
too.
Fermenter. Mm-hmm. Aaron's the head chef there.
Yeah.
And it is all fermented vegan food. In fact, I saw Liz posted recently, Mark Maron was in town over the weekend to do some shows at Helium.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that.
And apparently he's a vegan or a vegetarian. He stopped it in the restaurant.
So many people are trying it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Had the cookbook and was just absolutely over the top excited about getting it signed by Aaron and Liz.
That's awesome. Yeah, they'll be talking to Hedy Lou McKinnon, who wrote Tender Heart. She's also the author of To Asia with Love. And those are also vegetarian cookbooks. They're not really marketed that way necessarily.
Well, the new one, Tender Heart, is a cookbook. It says a cookbook about vegetables and also unbreakable family bonds.
Yeah, she's great. You might have seen her recipes in the New York Times cooking section, too. And yeah, and then Gregory Gourdet is moderating.
We should mention the moderator's a big star.
Mm-hmm, of Con. And he did a conversation with the Ghetto Gastro guys for us last year. And he's a really good interviewer and moderator. So I think that event is going to be really great. And I think whether, you know, I'm not vegetarian and I am very interested in that conversation too. So I think anybody who eats would be interested in that event.
I think definitely the case. I don't eat beef, but I eat chicken and fish. And Liz will usually bring in, when we do an interview, mm-hmm. some samples. And I like everything. There's pickles, there's sauerkraut. She brought in some dandelion wine. There's sauces, and I can't wait to eat it fermenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a really good cookbook, kind of like Tenderheart says on the cover, is so much more than a cookbook and is full of stories. So just talking about that, I think, is going to be a really interesting
format. Yeah, Aaron has a very interesting story, mm-hmm. the head chef at Fermenter and the co-author with Liz of the book. That was not a difficult pairing, the eat your vegetables, because mm-hmm. vegetables was kind of the theme there, the Indeed. Overriding theme. But let's take something like the session, This Life. So with two Portland-based mm-hmm. authors, Patrick DeWitt and Lydia Kiesling, moderated by Daniel Nia, who also has ties to Portland. Mm-hmm. Why did you pair these novelists? All three are novelists.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So both Patrick and Lydia's books, they're very different. Like Patrick's book is about kind of a loner, like retired librarian, but it's really looking at one man's life and like kind of a quiet life and the impact of that life. And similarly, Lydia's book is about, it's also about like globalization and global politics and things like that, but it's also looking at like one woman's life and like the impact of like one woman's decisions. So we're kind of talking about, my like working title for it before I made up all these titles was character study. And so
thinking they're both in effect character studies.
Yeah. So thinking about like, how do you decide to tell this story through the perspective of this one person and like what made this person the right person to tell that story, your character. So, yeah. So that's why I put them together. And then
that takes a lot of thought and work, doesn't it?
It's fun, though. And I think Daniel's a great moderator, so I think he can bring it together, too. And then Patrick actually pointed out to me, which I didn't realize, there's a third person on this panel, but I think in the 2018 book festival, Patrick and Lydia were on the same panel also. So it'll be kind of a reunion for them too new books, which I think is it's nice to be able to like kind of continue conversations in that way now that we're so many years into the festival. So yeah, it's just two good novels. They've got kind of a similar angle on like how they tell different stories. So.
And I'm a big fan of graphic novels. We talked a little mm-hmm. bit about graphic novels, cartoons. We mentioned Ross Chast. But I'm also excited about Naveed Madhavian. He has a debut book, a graphic memoir mm-hmm. called This Country, Searching for Home in (parentheses) Very Rural America. It seems to be a growing genre. And of course, we talked about Portland being kind of a center of that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that expands every year? The cartoonists there, the graphic novelists?
It just depends on kind of what we can manage. We've always had at least something. So yeah, I'll try to keep it pretty steady. But he's also a New Yorker cartoonist too. So actually Ross Chast blurbed Naveed's book.
They're not on the same panel this year. But
they're not on the same panel. Yeah, their books are very different.
Maybe they'll hang out and have dinner or something.
And I try to cross-program some of the graphic stuff too. Like that's why Naveed's with Nicole, because even though, again, those books are about different circumstances, they are about looking for home and what is home and what is family, and also looking for home in places that might feel in different ways like inhospitable to you for
that
different reasons.
That very rural America.
Yeah, and like how, and you know, Nicole grew up in Oregon as a Korean adoptee in a all or mostly white community, and she talks a lot about that in her book in addition to a lot of other things. And yeah, so I'm really interested in their conversation, but where I can try to mix genres partly so that someone who's maybe a big memoir fan who might not have thought of reading a graphic memoir might be introduced to that work that way. And
because you have kind of a straight memoir paired with the graphic one.
Yeah. So where it makes sense to do that, it's especially fun to jumble up the genres. We always try to have at least some kind of comics in the mix somewhere for all age groups.
I'm still reading them.
me too. I read a bunch.
Past the age of kid and teen.
Yeah. I mean, they're for everybody, and it's just a different way to tell a story. So, yeah.
Now, we mentioned some of the bigger names, and every year you have the up-and-coming writers or debut writers. They just published their first book. Again, this puts you on the spot, but are there any you could mention? In other words, listeners can watch out for and maybe put that down on their schedules.
Yeah, we have There's a debut story collection with a very memorable title. It's called Every Drop is a Man's Nightmare. and by Megan Kamali Kakimoto. She is Indigenous Hawaiian, and the book is very... Hawaiian mythology is like very present in the stories in this way, and like Hawaiian language, and it's very like bloody, but not gory bloody, just kind of visceral and like really dark. It's just if when you, I feel like for a lot of, I've never been to Hawaii, but if you just, and I'm not Hawaiian, obviously, but like if you say Hawaii, a lot of people think of kind of a picture postcard. Like,
oh, of course,
version of Hawaii.
Surfers,
this
sun,
is like the dark
waves.
Jungle, like night version of Hawaii. So it was just a different perspective. And the stories are, there's also like a story about a bunch of Elvis impersonators. So it's not all like spooky season.
And what's the name again, the author?
Every Drop is a Man's Nightmare by Megan Kamali.
Okay.
Kamale Kakimoto. So that one is really great. I really enjoyed that. We have a debut poetry collection by Victoria Adukwe-Bully called Quiet. That's actually part of a larger project we're doing this year called the Cascadia International Writer in Residence. So Victoria is up in Vancouver right now at the Vancouver Writers Festival, and then is going to Seattle and Bainbridge and Tacoma and then Portland and kind of working her way down. And so I'm excited about that larger project as well as Victoria's work. She's British, and that was how we were kind of able to bring someone over from the UK. And this was, it won a bunch of prizes in the UK and was kind of like the big UK poetry book last year. So it'll be exciting to have her in the mix.
So she's
too.
A true up and comer.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like a really exciting voice, I think. Yeah. I feel like I did a fiction and a poetry, so I should find a nonfiction for you.
Well, some of these are at the pop-up. Some of the newer authors are the less well-known. There's a few that I interviewed this year for my show, Zaji Cox and Joshua James Amberson. They'll be pop-up reading at the Portland Art Museum. You had mentioned that there's someone who works with them for the pop-ups and actually helps choose the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Liz Olofsson, who's been on the festival team since 2016, so has really been involved for a long time. She programs all the pop-up readings, so we go through submissions together and we also invite folks. So again, it's a combination of a lot of times we have people who come through submissions that we weren't able to find a good pairing for. And so the pop-ups are a good way to involve people in the festival, or if we think it's just really kind of ripe for that kind of format, we're able to feature people that way. And so, yeah, so she builds that program and does the pairings. And we work with two people at the art museum, Stephanie and Jaleesa, who are really great and really helpful with helping us know what's going to be on view. And it's really fun. So it's a great, they're very low key. There's no, like, you just show up, seats or mics or anything like that. And most people read a short passage from their current book, but some people will do other stuff. Like Nicole Chung is doing a pop-up because she also edited an anthology of work about adoptees. And so that's a YA anthology. And so she's representing that in the pop-ups. And then she has the onstage event for her memoir. So sometimes it's also a way to kind of highlight other aspects of people's work. It's just a great way to take a break if you're just like, I need a break from like the hour-long events. I want to go check something out. Or you, there's a lot of local writers in them. So it's also a great way to see what's going on right here in the hometown.
And get kind of a wider sampling rather than just going to the sessions.
It's fun. It's pretty like low risk, you know, so.
Now we should talk about the exhibitor fair. That's on Saturday the 4th, but there's also a Friday night book market, and that's also an add-on. But that's a way for people to get kind of a head start.
Yeah, that came up. We started that last year, partly because in 2021, you know, with everything going on with vaccines and coming back and everything, we had a much shorter planning time for the festival. We realized we could do an in-person festival, but we didn't have as much time. So we had a much smaller festival. And we did get feedback that people liked having more space in the book fair, but we just were like, well, we have to have more people. And so a way to kind of preserve that was to offer this Friday night book market. And so it's limited to 800 tickets total in the art museum. And you have access to both floors of the book fair. We'll have some extra stuff going on. We have music from PDX Jazz, and we'll have wine and non-alcoholic drinks and some snacks and stuff available for purchase. I know local author Stephanie Adams Santos is doing tarot readings also as part of it.
All as part of admission?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And so it's $25, and you get to shop the book fair early, so you know you know, you're going to get what you want. I say if you know you're going to buy a bunch of books the next day, go get them Friday and you don't have to carry them around all day Saturday.
And you don't have to worry about them running out. That's happened to me a few times at the festival. Of course, I'm looking at some of the sessions and then I'm shopping like at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we do our best, but you just never know. And it's also a nice time. Like the book fair is a really nice place to spend some time. There's a really wide variety of types of vendors there. There's bookstores and publishers, but there's also like MFA programs. There's other arts organizations around the city. There's people selling cool kind of book related stuff too. So it's really nice. And it's the Friday night version is like intentionally more chill, but also fun. So I think it's a really nice way to kind of kick off your festival weekend. Although events are starting on Monday.
Right. Yeah. Let's get to that because that's for people who really want a head start on the festival. That's called Cover to Cover. And I think that debuted last year.
Yes, that's correct.
And it must have been pretty well accepted for you to bring it back this year.
Yeah, and, it's really fun.
Yeah, I didn't mention any of them specifically here, but there's readings, storytelling, poetry, music, food, the pie session, improv comedy, cartooning, karaoke, and then something called poetry speed dating. Now, how do you come up with these events and the venues? Are those submissions also from like the Rose City Book Pub?
The answer is we don't. We intentionally don't come up with them. There's a submission process. It's all public. It's all online. And that program is designed to highlight partner events. So those folks have organized their events and they're hosting them. And we've put them together in this schedule to help bring more attention to them as part of the festival week and kind of stamped them as part of Portland Book Festival Cover to Cover. But they're not produced by Literary Arts or anything like that. Everyone gets full credit for those awesome ideas.
We didn't come up with them. over the city.
All over the city. It also allows us to expand the geographic range of the festival and just give people something to do all week long. And it's also different kinds of events that the festival has to be one day. And it's a huge event, but it also is just not actually that much space when there's so many awesome possibilities. So Cover to Cover has been really fun. And there's events for all ages. There's events for, you know, picture book. There's a high school romance reading group that has an event. Yeah, it's gone really well. And there's so many people doing so much cool stuff in town. It's a really great way to highlight some of that work, too, through so much of the festival. We started talking about how many people work on the festival, and the festival is really built on partnerships of different kinds. And this is another way to highlight and bring in additional partnerships.
And show kind of the variety of arts here in the, besides literature, besides music.
Yeah, they all have like a bookish angle somehow. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
And that kicks off Monday, October 30th, and it extends a day past the festival.
Sunday.
Sunday, November 5th.
Yeah. Huh. So yeah, that's fun.
So I'm amazed every year at the breadth and diversity of the Portland Book Festival events, but there's more, including something near and dear to all of us here in Portland. That's food carts. And I think you're bringing back the beer garden?
No.
Oh, no.
You know what? Everyone who goes to our event is such nerds that we've never made enough on booze sales to like have it be that worth it during the festival day, because everyone's just trying to go to like 10 book events.
Wow, because was it last year or the year before when you had the whiskey bar with
Jazz? Yeah, so that there's construction at the art museum, so we lost that space because it's fenced off. And so what we have done is moved that format into the Friday night book market. So PDX Jazz has programmed a couple bands at the book market, and then we'll have wine and some other things available there. So it's a little, no whiskey. It's a different liquor license, so wine and beer, I think,
OLCC
is the idea.
Is very complicated,
totally.
Our regulatory agency in Oregon.
So we've moved that into the book market just for kind of the restrictions of the space available to us this year. But yeah, but there's plenty of bars nearby if you need to take a break during the festival
day. And plenty of restaurants, too, if you're not interested in the food carts. But, but you shouldn't be in Portland if you're not interested in food carts.
Yeah, I think we have 10 food carts this year. So, we really wanted to make sure there were enough. So there's 10 food carts.
Now, before we go, how can people find out more about the book festival and events like Cover to Cover? and then buy tickets. I think buying advance tickets is always a good idea rather than standing in line on Saturday morning.
Yes. So you can find everything at pdxbookfest.org. And if you want to kind of see what people are doing online, the hashtag is PDXBookFest. Passes are $15 in advance, and they go up to 25 day of. So that's another reason ahead of time. And the full price passes do include a $5 voucher that people can spend at the book fair or at any of the on-site festival bookstores. So if you buy a book, then it was $10 for your pass, which is, I think, a screaming deal, to be quite honest.
And you have the umbrella pass, too, which is everything.
Yeah. If you know you want to go to the book market and you want seats at both of the Schnitzer events, then you can pick up an umbrella pass, and that's all included, which has been really popular. So if you think you want to do that, grab it soon. And then if you buy in advance, too, you can pick up your... So your pass gets you a wristband, and you need a wristband to get into any of the venues. You can pick up your wristbands at the advance box office next week also, so you can skip the box office line festival day and just jump right in to the first event that you want to go to. I really encourage people to buy passes in advance. I think it's a big advantage for the attendees as well. Kids do get in free, which we mentioned, but I'll mention again.
And so that's 17 and under.
17 and under or with a high school ID. So if you're 18, 19-year-old high schooler, you also get in free, but you do need a pass. So you still want to register for your pass. We have a couple other deals that I think, double check the website, that you would want to get festival day. We offer Arts for All tickets, and we offer free passes for veterans and active duty military as well. So there's a number of different ways into the festival. That's all at pdxbookfest.org, including, the Friday night book market and the Schnitzer events and the cover to cover schedule and the full festival schedule.
So much.
And all the authors.
Every year, I'm just so impressed.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today and for all you do for readers and writers here in Portland.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's fun. I'll see you.
See you there.
At the Portland Book Festival.
And if they ask me that question again, I know the answer.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Plus, 100 people.
Well, that's all for this episode of Jonesy here on KBOO Community Radio. If you missed any part of the show, or would like to hear the longer, unexpurgated version, the director's cut, you might call it if we had one, you can listen anytime, on demand, at kboo.fm/program/Jonesy, J-O-N-E-S-Y, or just search for it on the KBOO website. Before we head out the door, a big thank you to our guest today, Amanda Bullock, Senior Artistic Director at Literary Arts in Portland and Director of the annual Portland Book Festival. The festival takes place this year on Saturday, November 4th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., centered in and around the Portland Art Museum. You can find out more about the festival online and purchase tickets in advance, which is always a good idea, at literary-arts.org. Just a note that KBOO is your community radio station, and we get over 80% of our funding from our members. It's our fall membership drive, so there's no better time to show your support for the station and programming like this by becoming a member yourself or renewing your membership. If you donate now, your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $14,000, thanks to the generous support of a group of KBOO donors. Just go online to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. All of us here at the station, even Jonesy himself, thank you for that. Jonesy, by the way, comes to you every other week on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m., usually. Tune in for our next show on Thursday, November 9th at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying, hope to see you all at the Portland Book Festival on November 4th.